Hello, everyone. It is the Little Saigon Report from Des Moines, Washington, the home of Beans, the French Bulldog. He's a son of a bitch. And we are here tonight with a special guest, my sister, Mary, and we're going to talk about ghost stories. Before we go too deep into any specific ghost stories, and again, remember, this is Halloween. Halloween is about, what time is it? About 7 p.m.? No, it's 7:10 p.m. And for those of you in the Queensley Navy, beyond the Outer Rim, we know who you are out there. For those of you in the Queensley Navy. Oh. Hold on a second. For those of you in the Queensley Navy, it is approximately 1910 hours. You're out there traveling through deep space on your way home for Thanksgiving. Your mom wants to see you so bad. Make it home. We know your ship can make it even though it's injured. Did you stop at the planet Gromulac of the French Bulldogs? Did you seek the knowledge of the ancient Frenchies? Did they help repair the reactor? Okay. So, and Beans is here too. You want to say something, Beans? You want to say something? You want to talk? Huh? You never talk, do you? See, he won't even talk. He won't talk.
No cookie?
He's such a jerk.
No cookie?
Want a cookie. Anyways,
okay.
How are you doing, Mary?
I'm good, thank you. I'm Mary, like my brother Dan introduced me already, but I am Beans' mom. I'm a Frenchie mom.
What's that like, being
my... It's amazing.
Oh, he just bit me.
Hey.
He just bit me.
Mm. Well, what did you do to him?
Nothing. He's a bastard. He's a bastard. Oh my God, did you see that? This is like, listen to this now. Listen to that, can you hear that? Oh, you see how he quiets?
Of course he stops.
He stops.
Yeah.
He stops right then and there.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
What a bastard.
Okay.
Oh,
oops-a-daisy.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, he's a good boy.
He's crazy.
He's a good boy.
Anyways, Beans is crazy. He's getting crazier. It looks like he's been driven crazy.
No.
Oh, look at him. You see what he did?
Okay.
He does not like
No, come on. Come on, Beans.
Look at this.
Stop it.
Oh boy, Beans is starting to try to kill me.
Okay, I'll hold him. I'll hold him.
Beans is a son of a bitch.
Okay. He's not a son of a bitch. He's my baby. He's a good baby. Yes, you are.
Okay,
you're,
but you know,
well,
look at him. Now he's all fine.
He's
fine.
Boy.
Just keep his mouth away from the microphone.
I will, I promise.
Because he has all French bulldogs have an acid that comes out of their jowls that can melt steel. So just keep him away. He'll want to bite it. Listen to that. Oh, Beans, he sounds so great.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the Rickety Man?
No.
Have you, Beans, ever heard of the Rickety Man? Beans, do you know about the Rickety Man? He does construction work down by Joe's, across from the train station. That is just so adorable. Look at him. The Rickety Man does construction work. And one time he's out on the site, and he gets knocked over. He gets knocked over. He gets crushed by a big old caterpillar. Everybody starts laughing at him. He was just trying to save a French bulldog. A French bulldog had wandered onto the construction site, and the Rickety Man saved him. But now, if you're out late at night in the International District, you'll hear the Rickety Man and the little French Bulldog. You'll hear him in the night. Fuck. You're such a fuck. You take the steam out of you. Anyways, Mary.
Yeah.
We're going to tell ghost stories tonight.
Okay.
You're up first.
Okay.
Tell us a ghost story.
Okay. Well, Well, these ghost stories aren't like the Rickety Man or the.
I was joking about the Rickety
Or
Man.
I know, like a lot of the tales, you know, you hear about.
There are crazy
the,
tales
there's
out
some
there.
crazy tales. This is actually true. This is a true ghost story. I've been, I guess I'm ultra sensitive, and it really, gosh, right after graduating from college, I went to Japan and lived in Japan for a couple of years, and it really,
Hey, can I pause you for a
yeah.
second? We are definitely getting his breathing.
Yeah. But I'm not.
No, you're doing great.
Yeah.
His breathing's kind of coming through too
yeah
well.
yeah
So just, no, you're doing great. Just keep him a little bit further from the microphone.
okay
Unless he wants to say something, but he's
okay
just breathing.
okay
He's just breathing.
all right
No, I'm sorry.
so
So you're in
it's all
Japan.
good. Yeah, so my one of my first experiences was this, and I've studied about it, and there's lots of names for it. It's choking ghost, or and there's some scientific, I mean, scientists try to give a reason for this, like a biophysical, chemical type reason for it. But a sleep paralysis, I guess they call it too. But it's more than that, to be honest. When I was in Japan, and as you know, it's, I mean, the history in Japan is, we're nothing as far as our history is nothing compared to the Japanese history, thousands and thousands of years. Right, the civilizations, people died and lived and died on that on those shores. So one night I remember trying to fall asleep, and then all of a sudden I have this fright for, I mean, I'm suddenly afraid, like really afraid, and then
Like a sense of dread.
a sense of dread, and then I hear like that in my ear, and I get up to go, but I can't go. I'm like held down. And it was like, wow. So that went on for, it seemed like a long time, but probably more like 2 minutes or so. And I couldn't move, and I just heard this energy, this really, but not a good energy. I mean, a really scary presence. And so that was really the first time I felt that, and then a few times in Japan, and then moving back home, and it kind of followed me. And so then I moved up on the hill, and we built on a hill that's never been built before in Eastern Washington, and then it got really bad, like almost, gosh, almost monthly, I would be visited by this. I don't know, this whatever it was, and I always kind of felt maybe there were Indians or Native Americans that were buried. I had no idea. And then when it was the same, exactly the same that I was talking about, how I couldn't move, and I heard this murmuring. But then one time it was different. This one time, and again, it was that sense of dread, and I couldn't move. But then I heard a little boy's voice instead of the room. It was very clear, and he kept saying, "Cystic fibrosis." And it's like, wow. And to be honest, I didn't even know what that was. So the next day I looked it up, and it's a childhood. I mean, you get it in in your childhood. You can get it any age, but really, boys, I guess. And it was a death sentence. Now it's not so much, of course, but at one time, so it was really freaky. So this, like this ghost was trying to tell me he died of cystic fibrosis. That's what I felt. And then, if you want to, I have a
No,
couple of
actually,
other,
I'm loving this. This is good.
a couple other ones. And then just the normal,
With respect to the cystic fibrosis, this happened when you were in Manson. Did you ever think about checking the newspapers of public records
I
for?
did not. I did not. I well, I pr maybe thought about it, but it was kind of freaked me out. So,
Yeah, and I get it. Like,
and
that would freak me out too.
yeah. But and this other time, I was I woke up. I was asleep, then I woke up because it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and the whole house was dark except the bathroom light, which I is view I can see the bathroom light go from my bed. It was switching on and off. It started switching on and off, on and off. And then I turned and there was a big, like, shadowy presence of a really tall, looked like a really tall, skinny cat with, like, French bulldog ears and a tail, really skinny, like, hovering over me. And so that was pretty freaky. That was, and again, I couldn't move. I couldn't move. And and then one other time I remember looking over to my husband. He was sleeping and with his tummy up. And I remember looking over and I saw this imp-like character on him. So it was another time I couldn't move and I heard the energy, but I actually saw a vision. It was like an imp, weird, evilly looking, chubby imp right on top of my husband's tummy. It's like, oh my gosh. And I couldn't do anything. And my husband can attest, because every time it goes on, he hears me. He can't hear me say anything because I can't say anything. I turn, I'm like, oh, I mean, I'm kind of, but he hears the groans and things from me. So it's kind of crazy.
Have you ever researched, like, the whole incubus, succubus thing? Like, this is a common experience. And again, I'm not going to diminish it by saying, let me back up. There was a time a few years ago, like 10 years ago, where I would have said, yeah, you probably had a temporal lobe seizure, it was sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
Maybe you slept in the wrong way and you cut off blood flow to your brain.
Yeah.
There are lots of ways they'll explain this, okay?
Right.
And, you know, it is true. If you put a pilot in a centrifuge, like, you know, when they're training pilots for space and they'll accelerate them, they'll go through a process of essentially blacking out, right? And there's no oxygen flow to the brain at all. And they'll report experiences that are quote-unquote religious experiences. I would have said that 10 years ago. I don't really see it that way anymore. That's one part of it. The other part of it is this. I think it's a lot rarer than people realize. I've had it happen to me a couple times in my life. And it's been this horrible experience of something I can't see. I can't move. I wake up. It's like midnight. I want to force myself to get all the way up.
Yeah.
So like I'm halfway between sleep and awake.
Yeah.
I can't move. And I know there's something behind me I can't see.
Yeah.
And it's this sense that whatever's behind me is this horrible monster.
Yeah. You feel an energy, right?
Yeah.
There's a definite energy. It's not a good one.
No.
It's not positive. So.
And I got another question for you. And this is where, if you feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But as you have become more committed to your practices religiously, mm-hmm. has this gotten better or worse?
So I've always believed in God. And I always knew, I'm a Christian. And I know what he's done for me. And so to be honest, when that stuff happens to me, I call on Jesus' name. And then I am released.
So that helps.
It does.
So
absolutely helps.
Acts of prayer help.
Yeah,
when you do.
Absolutely.
Okay. Because
absolutely.
That's the thing. I think about this issue a lot when it comes to this whole issue of ghosts. I don't think that's as much a ghost as a demon type thing.
Yeah.
Like, it seems almost like it could be a demon.
Yeah. And a demon, ghost. I mean, now it's like all kind of intermixed,
together,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
What is a demon? What's a ghost? When you think about.
Well, okay. A long time ago, when I had both an open mind and I was still kind of an atheist, I had this general notion of maybe, somehow, people's consciousness could get trapped in some way. But it's so vague. There's no easy way to explain it. The problem is, if you look at ghosts from a scientific perspective, they don't make any sense.
Right.
Demons don't make sense either from a scientific perspective.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that the scientific perspective helps in this case.
Right.
Like, you have these weird experiences. I've had these weird experiences. Like, I will tell you something. There are times when I feel like almost every other person I meet outside is, this is going to sound weird, is in league. You know, in one way or another, they're either consciously in league.
Uh-huh.
And when I say in league, I mean in league with you know who, you know, Satan, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to explain it. I just have this sense that they're connected to Satan. And they'll say things, like, especially homeless people.
Yeah.
And I think it's part of people being so far on the edge and so crazy that maybe their antenna are picking up signals that other people wouldn't pick up. But yeah, I'll hear weird things. They'll say crazy shit to me. It's like, eh, I don't know what this means. I guess that's a long-winded way of saying that your experiences, I've heard other people relate them. It's common. It's common in a sense, but it's also rare, I think, too. Uh-huh. And it's weird. And it's scary.
It's weird. It is scary.
And it can be traumatic. That's the other thing, too, that people don't get. There are sleep paralysis experiences that are... Yours sound kind of traumatic.
Yeah, they were.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, mine amounted to a couple incidents of basically feeling a general sense of dread that something was behind me that I could not see.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you got targeted, almost.
Yeah, I feel that way, too. And you asked me, you know, as my Christian faith grows stronger, if they've become, or have I experienced... has those experiences changed? And I have to say, Dan, what year did Nancy die?
2012.
I have not, maybe what, I don't remember any of those occurrences since she died. And I remember talking to her about them, and she was always worried about me, and she felt bad. It's like, I don't know what that means, but it's interesting, I think.
Maybe your sister's looking out for you.
Yeah. I don't know what the, you know, of course, what it looks like out there, what we can do and what we can't do. But it kind of feels that way, that I've got someone watching out for me and protecting me. And if anyone can kick some ass, it's Nance.
Yeah, I mean, I think Nancy, when she gets pissed off, can be very helpful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where you think about it and it's like, eh, I just don't know. It's so hard. It's so hard to think to what extent people that have passed are out. I just don't know the answers.
Right.
Like, to what extent does their reach come back to Earth?
Right.
It's basically a question of what, you know, I'm a Christian too, so what does God allow? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I can believe it.
Yeah.
You want to hear a scary story? I don't know how scary it'll be.
Yeah, I do, but I bored my son to sleep. Do you hear him?
I know, and he's almost... I think I'm going to try to pick this up on audio, but I'm afraid... Yeah. Okay, like most situations, he doesn't... You know, he's Schrodinger's French bulldog. Every time you try to observe him, he changes. So, like, he basically will be a jerk, and then you try to get him on video. He's like, I'm not a jerk. I'm the coolest dog around. I'm not sleeping. Oh, you look like doesn't he look like a turkey like that? Like a turkey you're going to put him in the oven? Little turkey thighs? Oh, yeah. We're going to cook you up beans.
Okay. So, yeah, I'd like to hear a scary story, Dan.
It's not technically a ghost story.
Okay.
And it was, well, it's a scary story. It's not, I don't know, I wouldn't call it, I don't know, ghost stories are scary stories, but this isn't technically a ghost story. When I was in high school, I had a good friend, and I won't say who he was, but he was a good friend. He was also, you know, he was a Christian, big time. Mm-hmm. In fact, his whole family was big time Christians. And he told me a story of when he was in Eastern Washington one time. This is back in the 80s. And, I mean, you know as well as I do that growing up in the state of Washington, it was way more rural just 20 or 30 years ago than it is today.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's not even the same state, east or west. And Eastern's always been more rural.
Yeah.
And so it's around about Moses Lake. And he's actually hanging out with people at a restaurant. And some people come in. And they're kind of weird. And they kind of like, they're asking weird questions. And they're... kind of making noise, and he just gets a general feeling that these people are bad news.
Yeah.
And one of them says to him, just turns, he's sitting in the booth, and one of them turns and just looks at him, locks his eyes, and said, oh, we'll be coming for you later.
Oh, that is scary.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. That is freaky.
Wow.
So he gets back in his car.
Wow.
And he's got one of these old style muscle cars, and he's driving the highway.
Yeah.
And a lot of these highways in Eastern Washington on these rolling hills,
you
don't necessarily see what's ahead of you until you come over the crest of the hill. And he's driving, for a couple hours, and he gets over the crest of a hill, and he sees a bunch of people dressed in black holding their hands, blocking the road.
Oh my gosh.
Like, and again, like they're Satan worshipers.
Wow.
Like they worship the devil.
That's scary.
And what he does, he just steps on the gas.
Yeah.
He didn't stop.
Yeah.
He didn't say, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
If I saw that
yeah.
in like 1986 or 87 across some road in Eastern Washington
yeah.
when it's, you know, maybe even kind of dark out.
Yeah.
I would have just hit the gas.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's not really technically a ghost story, but that's one of those creepy stories. Like,
yeah, that's creepy.
It's creepy, isn't
that
it?
That is creepy.
I mean, what
yeah.
would you do if you saw a bunch yeah. of people cross the road dressed
yeah.
in black, like they're Satanists, with their hands
yeah.
held together?
Yeah.
Would you stop?
Yeah.
If it's out in the middle of nowhere, would you stop and pull over? Another thing to keep in mind, too, this is back way before cell phones as we know. I mean, yeah, there were mobile phones back there. Back then, there were mobile phones.
Yeah.
They weighed 50 pounds. And in all likelihood, there was no cell phone coverage in Eastern Washington.
Wow.
So there's no phone here. There's no, you know,
right.
there's no calling the cops saying, hey, come help me. This
right.
is not like 2019 where you just dial 911 on your smart device.
Right.
This is pretty, kind of a freaky, and it's a simple story. And it's not necessarily that uncommon. But one of the things that happens when these stories go awry is people will stop.
Yeah.
He didn't stop.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
He might not have even been able to tell me the story if he'd stopped. It would have just been an, oh, some high school kid had an accident in Eastern Washington.
Yeah.
That's what the story would have been.
Yeah. No, it can be freaky out there in those country roads at night. And that's really scary. It reminds me, I was coming back from a training session in the early 90s, mid 90s. And I had, it was dark, and it was coming back from Spokane, and you know, this long, and I remember hearing there was a rash of crimes where this guy was pretending to be a cop, and he'd be pulling people over, like, but he wasn't really a cop, and things would happen,
yeah.
and it freaked me out, and so I always thought, you know, anyway, so I was going the speed limit, coming back home. And then there was a siren that was being followed. I thought, okay, I'm just going to go to the nearest town to the police station. I didn't stop. And they weren't, it wasn't like, I was going fast, but not really fast. And I just, and then it just left. Then he didn't follow any longer. So it's like, that was kind of, that reminded me of kind of the story of your friend too. Because, I don't know.
It's a scary situation.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing about scary stories.
Yeah.
And again, I'm telling this story the way it was told to me.
Yeah.
You know, I will tell a tall tale on my podcast from time to time.
Yeah.
But this is the way the story was told to
scary.
Me. And it is a scary story, but it's like so many scary stories
yeah.
are about circumstances where you're alone.
Yeah.
That's a big part of the fear.
Yeah, it
you know,
is.
There aren't that many scary stories involving
it
crowds,
is.
Really.
Right.
I mean,
right.
It's usually you're alone.
Yeah.
You're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And you hear something or you see something.
And you're driving your car and it's like, man, did I check the back seat?
Yeah. So here's another story, but I think you already know this one. And I think some of the people who listen to my podcast know this one. It's not really a scary story, maybe. I don't know how to classify it. So back in 2016, through a series of personal mistakes on my part, I got associated with this dude. And I thought we were going to start a business. I thought we were going to create, like, the new Facebook, but one that was not so crappy and unethical. It was really great. I thought we were going to do something great. And I ended up, you know, spending a lot of money to go to Ireland, to spend time there, to put together a business plan, to do development work. And again, I classify this as one of the biggest mistakes of my life. I just got to be honest with you. When I was there, I stayed in a cottage. I prepaid for like 3 months. And the dude I was working with, we'll call him the Goat King, he lived in a cottage up on the hill. And so I would go up to his cottage to do work or just to have, you know, whatever, a meeting, blah, blah, blah. And then I'd walk back down the hill. And one of the nights I was walking back down the hill, and this is like day two or three, the sheep in this one particular paddock, I swear to God, I shouldn't do that though. Pastor
Tim. Oh, that's right.
Pastor Tim said, don't swear. But I'm telling you, from my perspective, as I was walking down that road, I could hear the sheep, but they weren't going baa. They were going den,
Oh my gosh.
It was like they were saying
That's
my name.
creepy.
And the way I interpret it in my head, and I know
Yeah.
this sounds weird, is
Yeah.
Dan, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Okay, now I gotta tell
Yeah.
you, I told you about this guy.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend too much time on him, but he was a scary dude.
Yeah.
Like, I called him the Goat King as I left Ireland. It wasn't until later I found out about something called the Puck Festival. And the Puck Festival is a Baphomet type festival involving, these kinds of weird chimerical, the horned goat, the stuff like that, the half horse, half man, half goat, half man. The satyr, whatever. I don't know who he was. He could have been just a grifter. In fact, my guess is he's just a grifter. But he was weird. At one point, he claimed he had two poop holes.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of weird. And I mean,
I wouldn't
maybe
tell anyone
Beans might have,
that
Yeah, look at him. He's so cute there. No, it was weird. Anyways, I don't know if I would call that a ghost story, but it's weird to have a bunch of animals calling your name in the night.
I feel like that's spiritual, right? With spirituality, ghosts, evil deeds done by men, all I think they're all kind of in the same.
Well, I'll tell you
I'm
this
not
too.
spirituality, I'm not good spirituality,
When
but I
I
mean.
first got there, one of the first things he and his wife admitted to being a witch, FYI, and kind of sort of admitted to being more on the side of Satan. She was one of these people. A lot of Luciferians will sort of rehabilitate the devil as this kind of cool dude that's misunderstood. And that was what she was trying to say. Oh, the devil's just misunderstood, blah, blah, blah. But one of the first things they told me when I got there is check out that weird castle across the valley. Well, it was an Illuminati castle. Now, like, listen, I never even brought up that Illuminati bullshit with them. I wasn't even really, that's back then, I was still kind of in the mode of, I don't know how to put this. I wasn't quite where I was at today. But anyways, why would they point that out? Why would they say, there, look at that Illuminati castle. Look at, we're on a ley line here. Did you know that? And the other thing too is the castle across the way and the ruins of the castle, like there was a new castle they built and the ruins of the original one. The ruins looked a lot like these ruins from this movie I saw a long time ago called The Nine Gates. And literally, it's a story of a dude, a rare book buyer seller dude, who follows these satanic texts to go to, basically to go to hell. And then the last gate is like this opening on the side of a castle where you see the sun shine through it. And this castle across the valley, the old one, the one that was falling apart, not the new one, it looked like it was weird. And all that stuff is just circumstantial, but it was just all so very weird.
That is weird.
I gotta say, nobody really, it didn't seem like anyone liked him in that neighborhood. Like, people that knew him didn't really like him. And it wasn't like it was a big neighborhood. This is like a little, tiny country side road. Like, maybe five or six houses, right? It was just weird.
That is so
I don't know. But
weird.
that's not really a ghost story.
I feel like it kind of is, but yeah, that's
I don't know.
yeah. This is kind of changing the subject, but not really.
I'm okay with that because I have other topics. If we want to move on to something else, we're about halfway through, and so it's okay. Let's do it.
Well, it's kind of interesting because my daughter and Anna and I were talking the other day how, like, America or Western civilization rather, is just death is just like a four-letter word. I mean, it's scary, right? Anything associated with death is scary. And when you're about to die, it's just all scary for the most part. But in other cultures, that's not how it is. It's just another passage, right? Another way.
Yeah, and I don't want to beat up too much on Western culture here. I think a lot of this is a product of the last 100 years. Like, the concept of the living room? Like, there used to be a room in people's houses specifically for putting your dead relative. Like, there was a room set aside. You wouldn't send your relative to, like, a mortuary. You would actually have your relative at your home after they died.
For how long?
whatever a person's tradition was, probably not that long. But again, this is more than 100 years ago.
Okay.
Okay? So this is back before kind
yeah.
of
I didn't know
the
that.
Age we live in. Well, the whole mortuary thing, that mortuary business, it's a product mostly of the last 100 years. You know, not totally, but mostly what it's become.
It's interesting because it does look like living rooms. Like when you go to those.
Well, the
like
living local, room, it was never called that. And then it was my point is the living room came to exist when people stopped having the dead in their home.
Huh.
And they called it the living room on purpose. Like, no, this isn't the room.
Interesting.
This is the living room.
Huh.
I know it sounds weird. You can research
it.
You can research it yourself, but it's weird.
Yeah, I just don't know the history. I'm just thinking contemporary.
Modern, contemporary?
Yeah.
I 100% agree. And I'm not saying the West. And when we say the West, that's a big term.
Yeah.
Because there are many cultures that make up like Western civilization.
Right. Well,
but I think the modern world.
Yeah.
I would agree with you.
The modern world. And when I say because I was going to just first say America, but I think it extends to like Europe and Canada and.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe not Mexico.
There's a general fear of death. There's a general fear of death that even goes beyond not wanting to recognize death in your own family. There's this general fear of death because there's an absence of any meaning. It's like the secular world, and this is hard to describe, but the secular world does not do a very good job of dealing with death. You know, for them, it's for the secular mindset, death is a condition.
Yeah.
You died. You were alive a second before, you're dead now.
Yeah.
There's nothing spiritual about that. There's nothing connected about that. That's just, you're just a chunk of meat. There's a switch. The switch was on.
Yeah.
Now it's off.
Yeah.
And that's really empty.
It is empty. It almost seems less scary, though. If I could believe that, it would not be as scary.
When I was in one of my darkest places as an atheist,
mm-hmm.
I used to be able to say to myself, well, maybe it is just like a switch.
Yeah.
Maybe you just turn a switch,
yeah.
You're on, then you're off. I don't believe that any longer, not even remotely. But I kind of thought maybe that was the case.
Yeah.
And the other thing is this. A lot of folks, you know, especially young people, get sold on this idea that if we just wait long enough, if we just wait another 10 or 20 years, mm-hmm. technology and science will defeat death. That death will cease to exist. I think that's total crap.
Yeah.
If you look at the numbers, and this is maybe not true across every demographic, but certainly true for my demographic, life expectancy peaked in 2017. The numbers are going the other direction.
Interesting.
Nobody wants to talk about that little factoid either.
That's interesting.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Americans, I believe a lot of Americans confront death every single day. I want to rephrase that. A lot of Americans are confronted by death almost every single day, but like everything else, they ignore it. Like, I was walking to Salal Credit Union in the summer of 2018. And this old man just fell down. He was like a homeless dude. It looked like he had a heart attack. There, you know, I went over and checked on him. Another dude did, called the fucking ambulance. The ambulance comes by and picks him up. But a lot of people will just keep on walking. And they don't even care to see what's going on right there in front of them. I'm on the flight path for Harborview. Okay? I'm going to tell you this straight up. I am on the flight path for Harborview, which means that whenever I hear a helicopter, and we're just being blunt here, somebody, or plural, is having a really shitty day. If I hear a helicopter come over my building, someone has had a terrible fucking day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yet so many people can tune that out. Just completely just say, oh, it's not real, it's not happening. It's weird. And it's really dysfunctional. You know, people talk about the Matrix, like one day we'll be trapped in a computer program. But I look at people, I think they already kind of are. I mean, when they're looking at their smart devices,
right.
It seems like they're already... So, like, here's life and death, right?
Yeah.
Life and death. These are important things. For Christians,
yeah.
They're really important, right?
Yeah.
But it almost seems like the smartphone is more important than life and death. Either both of those things take second fiddle to what they're staring at. And then I ask, okay, well, what are they being told to do? So here, you want to hear it? You want to hear a scary story?
Yeah.
That is related, and then we can go back to this.
Yeah.
Maybe not directly related.
Yeah.
Maybe not even directly, but indirectly. So in the summer of 2018, I was hanging out with a friend of mine, and we had done some shrooms. Full disclosure, we'd done some shrooms. He had this crazy idea. This is a Monday night. You have to understand something. This is a Monday night, and for some freaking reason, he thought we should go up to, I think, is that Volunteer Park at the top? We should go up to Volunteer Park on a Monday night and do shrooms. Well, here's the thing I'll tell you about Volunteer Park, and this was true back in the day, and I think it's still true. It's a hookup park. Do you know what I mean by a hookup park?
Yeah.
Okay, so older men go there to confront other older men in the darkness. I had a dude kind of try to walk up to me when I was like, whoa, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah.
So I told my friend, I'm going home.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, shrooms, I love shrooms, they're great. Shrooms amongst folks who are trying to maybe pick me up.
Not so good.
Not so good. So on my way home, this one guy in a car, and again, I'm not an attractive man. So none of this makes
any,
whatever. My point is, this dude is tailing me in his freaking car. It's like a Jaguar. He slowed down. He looked to be about maybe my age, maybe a couple years older. And he's like slowed down. So he's like right behind me. I'm walking home, trying to get the hell out of that place on shrooms.
Yeah.
And the general impression I got from the dude was he was some kind of weirdo creep.
Yeah.
So I pull out my, and this is when I still had a smartphone. I don't have a smartphone anymore. This incident is one of the reasons why I don't. I pull out my smartphone. And all of a sudden, just looking at it, it starts scrolling, it starts showing me apps, it starts showing me text messages from people I'd never received text messages from, messages I never sent. Oh my gosh. It was weird. It's like reading...
Wow.
Well, yeah, and ever since then, I've been really wary of, let's just say it, psychedelics around touchscreens, because touchscreens are extraordinarily sensitive technology. Really sensitive, okay, by design, which means that there are things that go on, I think, with the brain, especially under psychedelics, that can totally screw with touchscreens. That's a theory of mine. I could be completely crazy there because it sounds crazy, but like I said, isn't it creepy to be looking at your smart device and all of a sudden you're seeing conversations you did not have? You're seeing weirdness, and some of the stuff you see is angry. Like, it's just, you know, it's almost like all the demons are sending you text messages at once.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting.
And again, I was on shrooms.
Yeah.
So I will say this about shrooms. As a Christian, I put shrooms in the category of the Ouija board. Do it at your own risk.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's bad for you. I'm not saying it's poison.
Yeah.
I think there are psychedelics that are really bad for you. But I also say this. On shrooms, it feels as if that line of separation between stuff that we consider, you know, part of the world and not in the world, it seems like that breaks down. It really does. And I don't know. I mean, Anna didn't want to participate in our podcast, so she's kind of she's acting as kind of a member of the studio audience. But I don't know. I mean, Anna, have you ever had experiences like that on shrooms where things got weird?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like you were, what you were saying, your perception kind of expands a little bit.
Yeah.
Because we're only, you know, we can only observe what, you know, our bodies allow us to, you know, because we're just human.
Yeah.
So, like, when we take shrooms, I think you're right. Like, I've definitely experienced things like that.
So this was a weird experience for me, and it was kind of scary because here I am, I'm like basically a block or two from Volunteer Park, and I'm trying to get home, and because I'm on shrooms, I'm having a hard time with it. I can't use my phone for directions. I can't use my phone to call a taxi. I tried to call a taxi. Every time my finger got close to my phone, it started doing weird stuff. Oh, beans. So anyways, that's a kind of a weird story. And I really don't know how to classify it. I don't know how to put it into a box. It's, I don't know. You know what it is? I think psychedelics, and I've heard this about DMT, I've never done it. I think psychedelics give people an experience of death.
Huh.
Like, maybe on a certain level, like an understanding of death on a certain level. I think that's why psychedelics are scary for a lot of people, because psychedelics basically take a lot of what you consider solid and puts it at risk. I don't know. What do you think, Beans?
So taking the psychedelics or doing the psychedelics, is that if you're afraid of death, is it something you want to totally avoid or something you should
do? There are some therapists, and Anna, technically you're too far away to like really get in on this, but you can dovetail this if you want to. There are some people involved in therapy who believe psychedelics can help people confront death.
Yeah.
Like can help people towards the end.
Yeah.
A lot of people who've worked with DMT, and DMT is a psychedelic that is a short-term psychedelic. People go on a DMT trip. Maybe it lasts 60 seconds, 90 seconds.
Oh.
Although what they experience
yeah.
can be just incredible. I've never done DMT, but it's about a 60 or 90 second trip.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a documentary on Netflix called The Spirit Molecule, and it's a pretty good documentary, and they talk about this. But yeah, I've heard that therapeutically, mushrooms, peyote, DMT, these things can help people deal with death.
So how do you know how much to take for like a 30-second trip on DMT?
Well, that's, I don't know. That's where you have to talk to people who know something about it. Cause
okay.
I don't honestly know.
Wow. That's interesting.
I don't truly know.
And why do you just want to do 30 seconds? Because anything
that's
more
it.
Is not...
That's it. That's how limited it is. Like, I don't think you can do it for longer. Like, it is a short-term psychedelic experience.
No matter how many
exactly,
you take.
No matter how much you take.
Okay.
It is the physiology of the experience.
Oh.
At least as I understand it, it is limited by the brain's physiology. Here's an interesting fact that I learned in October of 2017, Beans. Interesting fact I learned. Oh, look at him. He is so precious. LSD, which I think is terrible, and I've said this before, I'll say it again, I don't think anybody should ever do LSD, ever. I think there's a reason why the CIA likes that drug.
Have you done it, Yana?
I think it's horrible. I mean, it's just my personal opinion. But you can't do it every day. That's an interesting fact about LSD. I don't know what the right terminology for this is, but it kind of just burns out your serotonin systems, and so you have to have a day of recovery in order to do LSD. You can't just do it one day after another. Like if you took LSD after doing LSD, it would do nothing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Now give it a day, maybe two, and then but I don't know. And it's horrible that I know this. It is horrible. Ugh. I don't know. Beans, but then I look at Beans and he reminds me there are levels. Like no matter how low I get, no matter how despicable I think I am, no matter how much I feel like I should be taken to a dump someplace, I can always think of you, Beans. You're a good, good little guy. You don't talk when I want to record you, though. You don't make noises on demand, do you? No. Well, anyways, I think we got most of the ghost stories out of this for tonight.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you, Mary, for sharing.
Thank you.
And I want to thank you, Beans, and thank you, Anna, for showing up. I appreciate it. And for all those out there enjoying Halloween, be careful. Be careful. Watch out for those candy bars with the razor blades. Watch out for Ringo Dingo. There's Ringo Dingo. Oh, boy. Watch out for Ringo Dingo.